Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We really have an awesome God. With that atmosphere of worship that was resting on this place, I felt like, Peter, let's just camp here. Let's just forget about the whole of the rest of the day and just worship God. We really have something the world is looking for, and it's the presence of the Lord. Amen. We thank God for our worship team. Stella, thank you. Kofi, we're going to spend more time in worship and praise later today. Amen. So just be ready. Be ready. Amen. We're going to spend some time. We thank God. We really thank God for the gifts that He's giving us in this area of worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I really believe that God has gathered us here to absolutely transform our mindset, our life, so that when we leave this place, we can carry more weight in the spiritual realm. Amen? And today, during our time of intense prayer, we are going to lift some weight over this nation. And what I want to share with you this morning is very key to how we can position ourselves for this to happen. Amen?
Amen.
The subject, the theme of this gathering was very intentional, contending for our divine inheritance. It's very intentional. And we started yesterday, we talked about what that really means, to contend, meaning to struggle for something that you feel you're losing. You contend, you fight for something, or you to reclaim it if you've lost it, fight for it, you know, fight to keep it. It's a treasure. And we looked at various ways contending means. For our divine inheritance means spiritual heritage. And we looked at the heritage God has given to us all the way from the book of Hebrews, stating from the garden all the way to the days of Paul. The different men and women that has left a standard of the heritage we have. And why Jude said we should contend for this faith, this heritage that has been given to us. So we looked at that. And we looked at the mindset that when we have lost that heritage, the kind of mindset we have, we become slaves to the culture, to the society, and we lose our position in Christ. So we looked exactly what it takes, what it would take to change a mindset. And we looked at how animals like elephants can be tamed, and once they have the mindset, they stay that way. And Paul said in Galatians 4 that we as believers, the moment we get saved, we have already a mindset from the world, the culture where we came out from, Egypt. And we are God's children. We have this power, we have this authority, we have this heritage, but because of our mindset, we do not really are effective in changing our environment, you know, our family and the various places God is calling us, like even nations. So the purpose of this gathering is not only to train, to remind, but to empower us and to create an atmosphere for us to be impacted with a change of mindset so we can truly reclaim and position ourselves with the mindset, the mind of Christ, as the sons and daughters of God. So this morning, we are going to look at, for us to be able to contend for our divine inheritance, what is that really, what is that inheritance? What is that inheritance that we are contending for? What is that inheritance we are contending for? Before I, as I was praying, I maybe this is just the place to say this really quickly because it was in my heart a lot. How many of you here are aware of the willing women? Okay, you can put your hand. If you're not a willing woman, lift up your hands. If you don't know about the willing women, if you're not a willing woman, no, I know you wail and pray, but I mean, if you're not a member of the willing women, you don't know about them, lift up your hands. Okay. Okay. We will not be here today if it wasn't for that ministry. I want to encourage you, if you are a woman, take some time and during the break time, ask Keziah to introduce you to some of their leaders so they can share more about the vision. I have never met a people with that spiritual discipline, spiritual commitment to an assignment, and with a focus to get the work done. It will not only affect your spiritual strength for your church, for your household, but it helps to really give you a unified place where women really see how much the difference they can make in a culture through prayer, in the church through prayer. Amen? So I really thank God for the partnership we have with the willing women. I thank God for our leaders that are here. You know, ASLAPN is a network of different ministries, leading ministries in the world, and we just facilitate the unity towards the area of prayer. So I thank God for our redeemed leaders that are here and deeper life leaders that you had, Pastor Dada, CAC, and various ministries, the Willing Women, Church of Pentecost Ghana, Church of the Living God. There are several ones. If you want to know more about it, we have the information. But we are here from various denominations and ministries, Bethel World Outreach. We're here to mobilize an army to help strengthen your various churches and denominations, but also to unify our strength to lift the spiritual weight over this nation that God has assigned us. Amen? Amen. So I just want to thank you all so much for being part of this call. For us to really... Sometimes we don't have the vigor, the tenacity, or the abandonment with our whole life to fight for something if we don't know the value and the worth of it. If it's not significant, we don't fight for it. But if you really know what it is, you fight for it. Amen? So I want to share with you what we are contending for, what we need to really contend for, and what God is calling us to reclaim so we can walk in it and begin to make a difference. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Tell somebody by your side, my life will never be the same after this. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 16. Yeah. Now, there was a prophetic revelation that the Lord gave to David in the book of Psalms chapter 2. And in the book of Psalms chapter 2, that was even before Jesus came on the scene, David spoke these words. God says, I have called my son. I've established my son on my holy hill, my son on my holy hill of Zion. He says to his son, ask of me, Psalms 2:8, and I will give you the nations for what? Your inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. That's an inheritance, the nations. What make up the nations? What is God looking for in the nations, the people? So let's look at inheritance belongs to sons. Amen? When we talk about sons today, see it, even if you're a woman, just see yourself as the daughter of God. Amen? That's what it means, the children of God. Amen? We men, we call ourselves the bride of Christ. Amen? So we balance it that way. Inheritance belongs to sons, to the children of God. From Genesis, God has made it absolutely clear that he has given legal authority and dominion to man that are in relationship with him. And it started with Adam. It was so clear. He says, I've given you power, dominion, authority, and I want you to oversee the earth and fill the earth, multiply, replenish. You can read all the promises God invested upon Adam. And you can see after the flood, repeated the same thing to Noah. And you can see the standard that Abraham raised and Jacob, Joseph raised in Egypt, Moses eventually raised in back in Egypt again. You can see how God eventually started restoring standard. Why? It was Jesus, the Son of God, who came and revealed something that we need to be very mindful of. For us to know the reason why we must fight back. We must get our inheritance back. And this is what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief comes not but to what? Steal, kill, and what? These are the three strategies of Satan. Satan does not, when he was cast out of heaven, he was darkened, he's been cast out of his place of legal authority and legal power. So the only strategy Satan has is deception. That word thief means a serpent, a deceptive person, somebody that comes with every deceivable power to steal. If he cannot steal by manipulation, then he steals by force. So the word thief is somebody who is deceptive in nature and comes at night. You know, comes in ways that you would not expect. He comes to steal, to kill, and then to destroy. So that's what Satan came into the garden with. He started at the garden, and you can see as soon as he stole Adam's and Eve's vision and their calling, he killed them spiritually. He separated them from God. And then he started a destructive pattern for the rest of mankind, started ruling. Now, those three strategies have never changed. They come in different ways. So that's why you see God has abundantly left us a cloud of weakness in Hebrews chapter 11. You see all the standard, everything that God has said. Say, this is the way I put you, Adam, you're in charge. After Satan has stolen again and caused the world, he raised up Noah. Noah again started a new generation. And then the devil came again, stole, disconnected men from God and started his destructive path and started ruling. Then you look at the days of Joseph. Joseph, God set another standard again in Egypt. Amen? And then in Egypt, God set a standard again. The enemy came, stole that, and put them back again in bondage for 400 years. And then Moses came again, set a standard. And then you see the patterns, and then God set up a nation. And then later he came again and stole the vision and the heart of, and then gradually the church was born. And it continues the same with the church. So we understand John 10:10, that's the agenda of Satan. Now, why do we have to contend for our inheritance? Our inheritance, for us to inherit anything, we have to have a covenant with the heir, the one who really has made the provision. We have to be in covenant. Inheritance comes by a bloodline. Amen? Inheritance comes by bloodline. That's why inheritance belongs to children, to sons. So I want to begin now to unpack and unfold and reveal to us what Satan's strategy always comes to steal. What is it that he comes to steal? Once he's able to steal that thing, that's it. He can take that generation down a different path. What is it that Satan is so mindful to steal? Everybody say identity. Identity of sons, identity of children. Amen? Our identity as God's children. So let's read Matthew 16 and we'll look at a few things here. Matthew 16, I'll read from verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Born in the flesh. He says, I'm a son of man, but who do men say that I am in this body, in this flesh? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but who say you that I am? Now, these are his inner circle. These are his disciples. Okay. Everybody else on the outside, they've seen the miracles. They've seen everything. They say that I am what I just read. But you that are close to me, you that are my disciples, what is my identity to you? What is my true identity to you? Who am I to you? And they were shocked. They did not know. Just like a lot of people have been in church for 30 years. They don't really know who Jesus is. When you know who Jesus is, you know who you are. And they said, and Simon Peter, after much silence, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Now look at what Jesus said after that. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my what? My church, my ecclesia, my church. And the gates, the governments of hell, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now listen to what he said to them after saying this. He says, then he charged them, he warned them, his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. You see how he hid his real identity. He hid who he really is to the point his own inner circle didn't even know who he really was. And then after they found out, he told them, hush, keep it to yourself. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, let your spirit rest upon every heart, every mind in this place. Father, your children have sacrificed a lot from different parts of the states, near, far, and wide, to be here. Father, let not one leave this place without the impact, the penetration, and the revolution transforming power of your word. Father, open eyes, restore identity, establish identity, and Father, honor your people with the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Inheritance belongs to children. And children without identity, without a knowledge of who they are, will never possess their inheritance. So, for us to understand who we are, when we are born again, we have to understand who Jesus is. Amen? Because that's what he came. If you plant corn in the ground, you what? You reap corn. God sent his son, the seed. He's planted his very nature, and he wants to harvest the fullness of that nature in us. So, identity. Jesus wants to reveal the power to rule. He knew what he was doing, and he knew how their response would come. He said, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am?" He said, and they started saying, the prophets, they started naming all the Old Testament covenants of the different people God has used to set standard in the Old Testament. But these people have never crossed, they've never entered a certain dimension that Jesus wants to reveal from the fall of man. So all these people, he says, they say, "You're Jeremiah, you're this, you're that, you're that." Meaning that they see the power in him to heal, to bless, to change situations, to affect the life of men, and to affect the atmosphere that the people or the condition people were struggling in as one of the prophets. But then he asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" Meaning, he's trying to reveal to them that he's more than a prophet. He's more than all these people that he's named. He's more than a title that God has sent or used in an office of the gifts. He wants to reveal something more than just the gifts. He wants to reveal something that Satan honors and respects as the only authority that he obeys, that he bows to when it comes to saying, "Give me the inheritance that belongs to me." So when they finish, they say, "Who do you say?" Then Peter answers, say, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed unto you." So the first thing we must understand is that you will never know who you are by just carnal understanding. You have to know who you are by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians, Paul says that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him. These things are revealed by the Spirit. So without the revelation of the Holy Ghost, we will not know who Jesus is, and we will not be able to know who we are as the children of God. Then he went further, and he says, upon the revelation of sonship, upon the revelation of sonship, he started putting some things. He says, I will build my church, that I will lay the foundation upon, the foundation of the church will be built upon that revelation of sonship. It's the cornerstone. Upon this revelation, I'll build my church. Amen. And the gates of hell, gates signifies government. When you say open, lift up your heads, O you gate. You know, gates means government. Or the best way you can look at it is there are the boundaries of a nation. You cannot cross it without having a legal grounds for coming. That's the whole reason for passport, identity. You cannot come into a place without a legal identity. That's why you have to have a passport to travel from one nation to the other, because there are legal boundaries that have been set. So in the spirit is that way. So it says, hell, from the fall of man, if you read the rest of the Bible, has established boundaries. And hell will never open its gates to anybody that is not a son. They will not release the keys. They will not. Hell, the gates of hell will resist anything that is not of son. I mean, if you look at just a simple example, the children of Sceva, they wanted to cast out devils, and the devil says, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? What right, what legal grounds do you have to ask me to leave this person? If Jesus said it, I know. If Paul said it, I know. But where's your ID? Who are you? Show me your authority, your passport. Show me your legal grounds for that. So, when he says the gates of hell shall not prevail, one is saying the church, which is the ecclesia of God, the ones that God will use to be sent as ambassador, or the people God will use in the earth to invade Satan's territory, to invade the earth and reclaim the destinies of nations and the hearts of people back to God, it has to be built upon the revelation of sonship. Amen. Then he said, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you lose shall be loosed whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What does that mean? I know we all have read this and we understand it about keys. There are many things about keys. You use the word keys. There are different kinds of keys. You know, David has keys. You know, the blood, worship, different things in the name of Jesus. But it says, I will give unto you the keys. Now, that means that only sons that God give keys. Not that he says, I will give unto you, based on the revelation of sonship, based on this identity, you have the right for the keys of heaven. This keys means the authority to use all the resources of heaven on earth. And not just using it, the word actually apostle means an ambassador, an ambassador. What does that mean? An ambassador is somebody that represents the very vision, the mindset, every characteristics of a nation in another nation. An ambassador never goes to go live for himself. He lives to represent the image and everything that the nation represents in another nation. An ambassador speaks on behalf of a nation in another nation. So to represent Christ, to represent, for the church to properly represent God as an ambassador, you have to have the full characteristics of sonship. And based on that, he said here, he gives you the key, meaning the authority for the powers of heaven to respond to your demands and the assignment that you've been given. And hell cannot stop you. Hell will resist, but hell cannot stop you. Actually, you're sent to plunder the gates of hell. Now, All of us know what identity is. Amen? Many of you have your driver's license. The moment you're stopped by the police, what's the first thing they ask for you? Where is your ID? Some of you work in very high secured environment. If you work in the Pentagon or work in the White House or work, your identity becomes so crucial. If you work in sensitive places, ID is everything. Your identity represents who you are. It tells people who you are. Amen? Amen. They put it in the computer and it pulls everything about you. It tells people who you really are. So, what Jesus is saying is, all these people say, I am this, and that's not who I am. They are trying to see me through the eyes of the prophets or the things the people have sent in the past. They don't really know me. Now, if you try to know people because they are worship leaders, they are pastors, they are apostles, they are prophets, you don't really know the people. If you try to know yourself by the giftings and the callings, you don't really know who you are. Because all these tools and these expressions does not bother Satan at all. Satan is heavily gifted, negatively powerful. He has everything that you have and better in giftings. He divided heaven with that ability. He's ruling the earth as the God of this age with that level of ability and gifting. So what does Satan fear? What does Satan bow to? What is it that he comes to steal? In other words, he does everything he can to keep you from knowing. He can allow you manifest your gift, be everything, bless you. But what is it that he wants to make sure that that's not your ID that you walk in? He doesn't want you to know you have the very DNA. You are the sons of God. The moment you understand that, you are working in a totally different environment when it comes to prayer, when it comes to dealing with your environment, and when it comes to dealing with principalities and powers. Now, I want to refer also to Romans chapter 8. For time, you can write it down from 18 to 19. It says that the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world, people are groaning. Why are they crying for sons to manifest? Why are they crying for sons to manifest? Groaning. I want to give you one example in the Old Testament, and then we'll look at the New Testament with Jesus, and then you understand why God wants us to understand our identity for this generation. In the Old Testament, the word groaning and cry was God spoke to Moses. He says, I hear the groaning of the people in Egypt. I have people, the identity has been stolen in Egypt. And for 400 years, they are in bondage. They are living below the covenant I've made with them. They are living below the promises I've given to them. I set a standard with the life of Joseph. This is, you own Goshen, and you have authority over Pharaoh and over Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. This is it. But they lost it at some point. And Pharaoh said, what do we do? Pharaoh devised a strategy. And that strategy eventually stole the identity. And what is the new identity they have? The identity now is that of a slave mindset. And they started living that way, and their generations were born into that. And finally, at the fourth generation, the 400 years, they have completely a new identity, and that's slaves from Egypt. That's what they believe, that's what they think, that's how they live, that's who they are. And they build the pyramids of Egypt. They build the world system. So, when the time came for them to be delivered, I want you to take note of this. Moses was born. And when Moses was born, God wanted to make sure that Moses has the identity of the what I call the old covenant identity of sonship. So what did God do? He allowed Moses to be in the palace, heir to Pharaoh. Amen? So Moses could have been the next king of Egypt, the next Pharaoh, and then set the people free. But that would not give them their identity. That will not really set them free. That will not position them with God. So you cannot set people free from something you've not been set free. Because Moses was in Egypt, he was not set free from the mindset of Egypt. So God took him away into the wilderness and started breaking him. And took him 40 years for God to give him an Old Testament covenant of what sonship looks like from the seed of Abraham. And when he was through with Moses, he sent Moses as an ambassador, meaning one that has my mind, my heart, one that has now been transformed and understands the covenant of a relationship. One man, one God, sent to a gate of hell with the man who was in charge of that gate, the strong man. Jesus says you cannot spoil the goods of a strong man unless you cast this, you overcome the strong man. Pharaoh was a strong man. One man with demonic powers ruled over Egypt. Whatever he says happened. Whatever he decrees happened. So there was a confrontation. And Moses came, representing God, confronted Egypt and Pharaoh. Not by might, not by power, but because of his new identity. Who sent you? I am that I am sent. And then before they left Egypt, God had to make him know that they are not leaving Egypt without the blood. To remind them that it is a covenant. They cannot come out, they cannot inherit anything without a reminder of the blood. The covenant that connects them to God. And it was a covenant that restored all their money, everything that the enemy has stolen. Amen? So you see an example of when a man steps into the position of sonship or the reality. One man entered Egypt, backed by heaven. The powers of heaven was behind him because now he has the keys of his son. And the powers of heaven went to represent whatever he says in Egypt. And he brought over about 3 million people out of captivity. Amen? That was the Old Testament picture of sonship. Coming into your true identity and using that identity to represent the purposes of heaven. Then another example was David, of course, in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel was thriving and Goliath was making so much noise. You know, David stepped up because he understood his identity. He did not fight Goliath based on he fought Goliath based on the power of circumcision, his identity. He understood, a young man knew who he was and the God that is behind him. So in the New Testament, just to fast forward really quick, Jesus came as the ultimate. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. Amen? Jesus came, not only to bless the people, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to, for once and for all, disarm everything that the enemy has stolen. He took the keys of hell and death, he disarmed him, and through his blood, he paid the full price for the consequences of what Satan has stolen from man. And then he restored, better than before, the authority and the legacy of sons and daughters. And then he established that under what you call a new covenant. Meaning, the veil of the temple was red, and now God can harvest sons and daughters of God directly into the presence, the very throne of God. So, Jesus, knowing that this is something that will be fulfilled, knowing that this is something that he's going to accomplish, started preparing his disciples for identity, for ruling, identity, for power, identity, for authority. And that's why he asked them this question. He started preparing them. The reason for identity, the reason for this question is this. My brothers and sisters, every problem we go through, every crisis we go through personally, and every problem we go through in our workplace, in our families, in marriage, in our schools, in our cities, in the nations, everything we go through is asking us one question. Who are you? Why do I know that? Because as soon as Jesus has, after 30 years, has been now prepared for his assignment on earth, he stepped to the baptism of John the Baptist. As soon as he was being baptized, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And you remember the words? And God declared, this is my what? This is my beloved son. Meaning, now I have a son in the earth. And now I'm sending him, the first book, sending him for an assignment. What was the first assignment? Was to answer a question directly from the devil. If you come in to rule, if you come in to reign, if you're coming to do this, I need to be sure of your identity. He said the Spirit led him, the first thing a son led him into the wilderness to be tested about his legal rights to do what he's come to do. And the devil said, if you're the son of God, three times, if you're the son of God, if you're the son of God, prove it, show it. He tested him with what Adam fell, food. He tested him with power. If you have power, are you going to use it like a son or you use it like me? God gave Lucifer power, he used it for himself. But are you going to use it? God, all the temptations was, I will only do it if God leads me. I'm just paraphrasing. He says, if you're the son of God, jump. In other words, use power when even God is not asking you to use it. And Jesus says, you're just tempting me. And then he says, I will give you all the riches of the world. Everything, he showed him the world and all the stuff. Now that if you're the son of God, you have, and Jesus says, no, I will only worship. You know why? Because there are many people today who worship God, who serve God because they are blessed, they have money. Or if God doesn't, if you don't, you know, look at what we read in Hebrews 11. People suffered, people went through a lot, but they loved God, they served God. Paul says, in perils, in darkness, in famine, he doesn't change his love for God. But there are people today, without knowing it, they serve God only because they are blessed. What will happen if you're not blessed? So, if you don't have others, your assignment is to very rough places. What will you do? There are people in the world today that serve the devil for money. They worship him for money. So there was a test here. Jesus passed every test, every crisis, every question that Satan will ever confront you with. And finally, the devil left, basically saying, you are the son of God. Go ahead and do what you've come to do. He left him for a season until the cross, where now Jesus finally bruised his head and finally wiped out his ability to rule over God's children. So, every crisis we face, everything we go through, you might not understand it, but indirectly, subliminally, it's asking you, where is your faith? And where is your faith? Is your faith in your gift? The faith you have, is it in your money? Is it in your church? Is it in your denomination? Is it in your title? Or is it that you are sons of God? You're a child of God. Where is your faith? That's what Jude is saying. We should contend for the faith that has been left us. We are the sons of God. We are the children of the Most High God. But our mind does not agree with it. So there has to be transformation. The enemy in every generation comes to steal this identity. And whenever he steals it, he starts killing the connection, the spiritual heritage. And then after he does that, then he starts destroying the people. And every generation faces that, but God will start looking for a standard. People who will now be revealed as the children of God, because the world is groaning. And that's what Jesus came to serve. So the prayers we're going to be praying this afternoon, the prayers that God can respond to release nations or cities to are to the sons of God. And the prayers that Satan can respond to when you say you bind, you do this, or you ask for God's vengeance has to be the prayers of the sons of God. Amen? He doesn't have to ask us, who are you asking for that? Who are you asking me to leave this city? Who are you asking me to leave this name? Who are you asking me? He can ask that if you understand the identity. Amen? When we pray today, just to give you an Old Testament pattern of identity. Elisha faced a very big problem. The Syrians came to attack him. And he has a servant. And his servant came with fear. Oh, master, we're in trouble. You know, this is in 1 Kings. We're in trouble. Look at all these armies of the Syrians are here. Why? There are two people standing in the same place, but they're not standing in the same place in the spirit. They're in the same building, seeing the same thing, but from different positions. The servant saw it from the position of a normal human being, normal, facing a very big crisis in the physical. Elisha is standing there, but Elisha is standing in the spirit. In a totally different position, he says, God, open his eyes so he understands his position. And God opened the servant's eyes, and the servant crossed over to where Elisha was standing, and he was at peace. Because in that position, he saw chariots of fire. Where he wasn't seeing that before, but he was in a different position. Now he saw what Elisha was seeing in the spirit. You can be in the same church, you can be in the same congregation, but people operate from different positions. Elisha operated from that position because he had the covenant of the Old Testament pattern of sonship. But Jesus now came and gave us the real, the ultimate, the whole reason God has sent him. Bigger than what Elisha, bigger than all these people, sons of God. So without this position, this revelation that Jesus is saying of this position, we can be saying, I bind you, I lose this, I lose that, but it depends on who is listening to you. Because it depends on who you're talking to. Are you talking to your father? Or are you talking to a father you know just in the head? Our Father. That's what Jesus says. Everything Jesus is with Father, 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 Father. Because he has the key. Amen? So my brothers and sisters, identity is a transform, is as a slave to a son. That's how big it is. There's a huge difference from here to here. Big difference. Amen? So this purpose of this training is, as we pray today, is that God will change our mindset. That God will change the way we think because we have a better covenant. We are the children of the Lord. Once we understand that, we'll be praying in agreement from the same position. And when we pray this afternoon, I will share with you, we'll pray some things this afternoon, and if we have time, then we can reveal some of the things what we'll be praying about. Some of them will be taught tonight. But this afternoon, we are going to unite under this mindset to address the spirit that holds the gates over the city. You know, a lot of prayers have gone. There's been a lot of war. People pray all the time. People gather all the time. Prayers are always making a difference. But we've come to add to the prayer. We've come to lift up the hands of people that are praying here. We've come to strengthen. We've come to add another ammunition. We've come to push. We've come here to add to the spiritual warhead against the principalities holding the gates of this city. The spirit holding the gates of this city are in charge of everything that happens in the nation. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're going to be praying today. But let's pray it from the position of the children of God. That's the purpose for this teaching. Amen? Amen. So know your identity. How many of you can agree? Who are you? Do you believe it?
Yes.
That's why he didn't say it. You know, a lot of people didn't say it because they didn't believe it. Amen? I know it's hard, you know, when you've been born as a child of you come out of Egypt, it was very hard for them to say, I am free, I'm a son. Amen? I showed you with the elephant, you're still walking around, you know, because his mind has not changed. He couldn't walk out of it free. My brothers and sisters, Paul says, now are we the sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we know we'll just be like him. That's who is inside of you. That's who we belong to. And that's why the world is crying, when shall these people show up and bring us out of what the enemy is doing in this generation? I have good news. God is going to do that, and he's about to do that in a visible way. Amen. So, if the police ask you who are you, show them your real driver's license. Amen. If you breathe the light and you say you're the son of God, they will still give you a ticket. So, like Jesus, keep your identity solid and treasured, because the world doesn't understand that. If you go tell the people of the world you're the son of God, they think you're crazy. So Jesus said, don't tell, but don't let, because you live in the world and the culture doesn't allow you to express that, don't let that become your mindset. Settle it in your heart. Every day when you look at the mirror, say, I thank God for this person I see, but God, I am the daughter of Zion. I am the son of God. If you begin to think it, begin to speak it, begin to live it, the devil will begin to respond to it in your life. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, you are causing our mind to shift so that we can be positioned in the place where prayer makes a difference. In the place where demons and principalities, they hear authority and dominion. Father, we thank you for these armies of the sons of God, the daughters of Zion that you're raising. Father, I pray that as you open their eyes, help us, oh God, to walk by faith, to see constantly and continuously this identity by the Spirit. And may we not put so much emphasis on what we look like on the outside. Help us, oh God, to walk in this reality. Make it so real for us as you raise up in this hour to possess our possession and contend for our divine inheritance. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Obi. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I have one.